Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
So great to see you all. Thank you so much for coming this morning. I have a message that's heavy on my heart. This week, God really spoke to me and I went deep into it to try and figure out what God was trying to say. And I believe that God wants to touch many of you this morning. I know He touched me this week when I was preparing this message. Because it's a subject that I think is oftentimes misunderstood. And I say that because in our walks with God, many times there are certain things that we perceive based on suggestion. In other words, we've heard something, and because we've heard it presented a certain way, we believe that to be the way that it is. I'll give you an example, kind of a silly example, but most people, unfortunately, have a perception that heaven is like a place with clouds. And, you know, there's people playing harps in heaven and it's going to be like just puffy clouds, you know, when actually that's not at all what heaven's going to be like. Heaven is going to be an amazing place. In fact, the Bible speaks about streets of gold. The Bible speaks about rolling hills. The Bible speaks about trees. So there's many things that you have on earth that will be in heaven. The only thing is it goes far beyond the wildest sunset you've ever seen on this earth. There are things that will take place in heaven that will be spectacular. Now, when it comes to many subjects that we discuss and many things that we look at in Scripture, oftentimes we kind of make a decision that this is how it is, again, just because of something we've heard or something we perceive. And so that's kind of how we just always think that it is. And so this morning's subject is the weight of a vow. The weight of a vow. How many people in this room, and I don't want you to lift your hands because I'm going to go after some sensitive things, but I will say this, that even in the list that I'm sharing with you as your pastor, I have done some of these, okay? So don't feel like you're the only one that's bad. We've all made mistakes, okay? That's why we are so thankful for the cross, amen. So I want you to know that how many in the room have ever said, now don't raise your hands, please, because I'm just going to go through the list. And again, this is not a complete list in any way, but have said, like, for example, I promise on my life. I make a promise, I promise you, on my life, I promise. Are you sure? Yes, I promise on my life. Or you know, if you're really going to make a promise, you know, when you're having an argument, you promise on our children, you promise on our kids. How many of you have ever heard a promise like that? Now again, don't raise your hands. How many of you have made promises to God? Like, for example, God, if you do this, I promise I will never do it again. Shh, man. Father, if you change my life, God, if you change my life, I swear to you, I will never, ever, ever do that again. I promise, God, I'll never smoke a cigarette again. I promise, God, I'll never, ever speak to my daughter like that again. I promise, God, I will never do this. If you just do this one thing for me, I promise you, I will change. I'll be this. I'll never do it again, Lord. I promise that I'll pray every day for at least 5 minutes. Many of us have made promises like this. Many of us have said, Lord, I promise I'll never, just do this one thing, I promise I will never cuss again. And so we've heard many, many times about what it means to promise. Can we promise? Can we not promise? Should we promise? Shouldn't we promise? And then again, what's the difference between an oath, a vow, and a promise? Now, there are some differences between them, and we're not going to get into that this morning because I want you to understand that any covenant or promise or oath or commitment that you make that is in that level of intensity, it carries a lot of weight. There's a lot of weight to any promise that we make. Now, what does the Bible have to say about this? I think the best place to start when it comes to discussing the subject of promises or commitments or oaths, let's go to Matthew 5, verse 33, to the words of Jesus. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old. Now, I want you to understand, when he says that, he's telling you that it's already been said. What I'm sharing with you has already been said. So he's actually speaking about something from the Old Testament. He says, again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord. So in other words, in the Old Testament days, an oath was something that was serious. It was something that was taken seriously. And look at what Jesus says. But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. Now, I want you to notice, if you go gray, God did it. But let your yes be yes, and your no, no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one. Now, it's very important that we kind of have a little bit of a look at this a little closer, because Jesus is busy speaking and he's sharing about oaths particularly, and he's busy talking about how you don't have the capacity, you and I don't have the capacity to swear by heaven, to swear by the earth, or to swear by an individual even, because we can't even change the color of their hair. So we should never make promises about our family, about our children, about the earth, or about God's throne. Because the truth is, we don't have the capacity to make that kind of swear, to make that kind of vow. We don't have the capacity to do that. And what he's really saying here is he's saying, you should be somebody that the weight of your yes and the weight of your no should be enough for those. Someone that walks in truth, your words should be, and that should be good enough. Or make you swear. Look at this. 12 is basically, he's quoting Jesus here. And look at what he says. He says, but above all, my brethren, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth, or with any other oath. And you'll know, no. Into judgment. Unless you fall into judgment. Door for the evil one. When you go beyond a promise, I want you to understand that if you don't keep that promise, if you don't keep that oath, that it opens a door to the enemy. Remember, guys, the Bible says that the accuser of the brethren goes before the Father day and night accusing you of what you've done. He can only accuse you of what you are guilty. Legal ground for him to. Are you with me? I know this is heavy. Most of us in this room, including me, have. And that can leave an open door. And we'll talk about that this morning. Now, if I. We must never make a vow. We must never make a promise, because examine it carefully, because the truth is that if you make a vow, actually potentially be held against you. New Testament and the Old Testament, many characters Bible made oaths, including God. And Jesus actually swore. He said that we shouldn't really do that. But sometimes there are situations. I don't know if they still do it. I think they do in some states. You have to put your hand on the Bible. Now, if we do that as Christians, Jesus was actually put in that position. We'll have a look at it in just a moment. Now, God makes a promise. Let's take a look. Now, God's made many promises. In Hebrews 6:13, he makes this one, and this is a good one. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could not swear by no one greater, he swore by himself. Now, listen. When it comes to God, I think it's okay. Because the Bible says that he's not a man that he should lie. And so he will honor his word. And he was so serious about this promise that he swore by himself. And if you study scripture, you will find out that everything that he promised there has come to pass. and is actually still coming to pass. So God honors his word, but we see him make a vow, make a promise. Jesus spoke under oath. Let's go to Matthew 26, verse 63. Matthew 26, verse 63. But Jesus kept silent, and the high priest answered and said to him, I put you under oath by the living God. He's just been put under an oath. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus didn't say to him, I'm not going to swear under oath. He answers. He responds to the oath. He makes the oath. He does it. Jesus said to him, it is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven. So Jesus makes an oath and he tells them who he is. So we see him do it. Now, I know many of you are sitting there saying, well, you know, that's okay for God and it's okay for Jesus because we know they're not going to lie, right? I mean, we can all agree. Like, I really don't think you're going to find anywhere in Scripture that Jesus lies. Okay? He tells the truth all the time. So he knows in his greatness and in who he is, in his majesty, that when he makes a promise, he'll keep that promise. Unfortunately, men are not quite like that. So the question we have to ask ourselves is making a vow allowed? And is making a vow wrong? Let's go and examine Scripture before I even try and answer that question. Having a look at the two Scriptures that we did, Matthew and in James, it would seem as though it would be strongly advised to think very cautiously before we step into the realm of making a promise or a vow. And unfortunately, as human beings, especially when we're in a heated moment, we'll make promises that, quite frankly, we can't keep. Okay? So let's go and have a look at some vows in the Old Testament. And then we're going to have a look at the intensity or the severity of a vow. And then we're going to pray. Is that okay, guys? Yeah. All right. Genesis 28, verse 20. Before I read this to you, let me give you the backstory. Jacob is busy sleeping. He's having a dream. And in the dream, there's angels ascending and descending on a ladder. And from the top of the ladder in the dream, the voice of God comes down to him. And he confirms basically the promise that he gave his forefathers about the descendants of who his descendants would be. He makes an awesome covenant, really, with Jacob. When Jacob wakes up, he makes a vow to God. Take a look. Genesis 28, verse number 20. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I am going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, so shall I come back to my father's house in peace. Then the Lord shall be my God, and this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. So Jacob makes a vow with God that if he keeps him, and he basically keeps him in the way that he's going and with the promise that he's made, and supplies all his needs, clothing and food, that not only will he just follow God, but he will actually give him a tenth, a tithe, of everything that he has. This is the promise. This is the vow that Jacob makes with God. And we know that he honors this vow. And actually, if you go to Genesis 31, verse 13, you will see how God reminds him of this vow. When we look at this, it's important for us to take note. God remembers your vows. He remembers and he will remind you of your vows. Genesis 31, verse 13. I am the God of Bethel. What's Bethel? Bethel is the place that Jacob set up as a pillar. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed the pillar and where you made a vow to me. Now arise and get out of this land and return to the land of your family. This was the promise that he made to God. And God is saying to him, listen, you need to get up because you've got to fulfill some things that you and I have committed to each other. You need to go and do what you are called to do. You need to go back to your father's land. He had to deal with some stuff from his past. And so Jacob is reminded of the promise that he made to God. It's very interesting, though, because we see an example of a very powerful vow, and we see how it works out for the good. Now, I'm so thankful that there's more stories than that. Let's go to 1 Samuel 1, verse number 11. We're going to be reading about Hannah, who is a woman that is desperate to have a child, desperately seeking for a child, and she goes to the tabernacle every year to pray and to seek the Lord so that she can have a child. And her prayer just hasn't been answered. And then eventually she goes before God and she makes a vow. 1 Samuel 1 verse number 11. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child. Here's the vow. Here's the condition. She's asking the Lord. Then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. Now, for those of you that don't know, Hannah ends up having a male child. And when he's a young boy, she takes him to the tabernacle. She takes him to the house of the Lord. And she gives him to the priest to continue to raise up. This young man becomes a prophet, and his name is Samuel. Samuel becomes one of the greatest prophets of the Old Testament and makes a major impact on the Old Testament days. In fact, he anoints the first king. He's the one who anointed King David. He stands up to the enemy several times in Scripture. This guy is awesome, okay? In fact, the Bible says that when Samuel would come into town, people would become fearful because they knew this man carried the voice of God. He carried the presence of the Lord. And when Samuel spoke, the Bible says his words didn't fall to the ground. I mean, this guy was a prophet of prophets. He was a serious man of God. Now think about it for just a moment, guys. Samuel is this prophet that God raises up to lead the nation of Israel, the voice of God in the Old Testament. Because you must remember, they didn't have the Holy Spirit like we do. They had prophets who were the voice of God. They would speak on behalf of the Lord. God needed a prophet, and Hannah needed a son. She went to God and she said, I will give him to you, and I will make sure he walks with you. And so God says, okay, I will give you a son, and then you must give him to me. God keeps his part of the bargain. She keeps her part of the bargain, and it turns out really good. So we see in a desperate situation how she cries out to God, makes a vow to him, honors her vow, and God begins to move very powerfully. Now, in the Old Testament, we see an example of someone that kind of the same thing almost. We see in the life of Samson that the Lord goes to Samson's parents and make a promise with him. They make a promise with the Lord that they will raise a son and he will become a Nazarite. And so that Nazarite was Samson. Samson didn't obey the commandments that were given to him. He disobeyed. And if you study the life of Samson, listen, God works it out for the good in the end. But the guy went through some serious, serious difficulty. So same story. In Samuel's life, there was obedience. In Samson's life, through the covenant, through the promise, there was disobedience. And we see the consequences of that disobedience. Let's take a look a little further. In the Bible, we see through several Psalms, examples where they take vows, where they make promises. The first example we'll look at is Psalm 66, verse 13. Psalm 66, verse 13. Now, this particular psalm is written by an unknown author, so we're not sure who wrote it. It's speculation, but we're not even going to bother doing that. Let's just read it and take a look at what it says. I will go to your house with burnt offerings. I will pay my vows. So if someone's going to pay vows, that means that they've made vows. So we know this particular psalmist had obviously made vows to the Lord. And those vows, perhaps they were financial offerings. Perhaps they were offerings of worship or praise or burnt offerings. We don't know. But look at what he says in the next verse, because this is powerful. Which my lips have uttered, and my mouth has spoken. And look at this. When I was in trouble. You will find that the urge or desire to make a vow to God will come when you're in trouble. The psalmist tells us that when he's in trouble, when he was in trouble, that's when he made these vows. Because he says, which my lips have uttered and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. So we can see that without any doubt, we'll see even now when we proceed, that trouble often brings the vow. Let's have a look at a psalm of Asaph. This is a beautiful psalmist, and I'm going to give you a wonderful example here of how God speaks to us through the Psalms. Psalm 50, verse 14. Psalm 50, verse 14, a psalm of Asaph. Offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. Now, this is so powerful because if you look at this, you'll see the psalmist speaking. Offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. He is speaking. Can you see it? But what you will see in Scripture, specifically in the Psalms, is that they start with the psalmist speaking and they end with God speaking. So we see, offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. Now God's about to speak. Next verse. Call upon me. Call upon who? On God. Who's speaking? God is speaking. I need to say this. This is important because some of you are not used to the prophetic. In the prophetic, you will sometimes hear the person praying pray as though they're God. It's not unscriptural. The psalmist is now speaking as though he's God. Do you see it? Okay? So don't get a fright if someone prays and then begins to speak as though they're speaking like it's God speaking. It's not unscriptural. It's totally scriptural. But when you do it, you better make sure that you're doing it right. How do you know if it's right or if it's wrong? If there's fruit, it's right. If there's no fruit, it's not right. Jesus said, a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. And he was referring to false teachers and false prophets. And if he was referring to false teachers and false prophets, he was talking about ones that are still coming. So the prophetic exists still today. In fact, the Bible says that the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. That means that the testimony, the speaking, the testimony of Christ, who is the spirit of prophecy, who is the Holy Spirit, lives inside every one of us. Which ultimately means in some way, whether you believe it or not, there's a little bit of prophetic in you. Now that doesn't mean you go around saying, thus saith the Lord. That would be really foolish, right? But God can use you. And you can develop the gifts that he gives you. Come on Saturday night, I'm talking about the gifts on Saturday nights at the moment. But let's get back to this. So we see him here switch. First he's talking as himself. Now he's talking and God is speaking. And he's just told us that we must pay our vows. We must make vows to God. Now God's saying, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. The psalmist was talking about coming with thanksgiving and paying vows. And God's busy saying, listen, when you're in trouble, you can come to me. In other words, listen, there are times in your life where you may be in a situation where a vow isn't the wrong thing to do. That was first person. That was God speaking there. That's powerful. That means that there may arise a situation in your life where you are serious with God. This is a serious thing, not to be taken lightly. Jesus said it's better that you don't do this because, listen, you could potentially open yourself to trouble. But if you're someone, and I'll show you someone in just a moment who does this, because he knows he's not going to break that vow. You may be in a situation where you really need a miracle. Sometimes a vow is the way to go. I didn't say it, it's in the Word of God. If you don't believe me, we'll go a little deeper. Is that okay? You're all okay. I know this is a different subject this morning, but I can assure you, it's important. It's very important. Another psalm was of Asaph in Psalm 76, verse number 11. Make vows to God, to the Lord your God, but there's a condition. And pay them. Let all who are around him bring presents to him who ought to be feared. There's no question that in the Old Testament, one of the ways people paid vows were with offerings, finances. They would go to God, they would leave an offering, they would leave a blessing there, they would leave a gift for the Lord, and they would make a vow to God, and God would oftentimes honor that. That's how it worked. Now, let's take a look at David. Psalm 22, verse 25. My praise be of you in the great assembly. I will pay my vows before those who fear him. David made vows to God. And here he tells us that he honored those vows. Psalm 56, verse number 12, another vow of David. Vows made to you are binding upon me, O God. I will render praises to you. So we can see that he's taking these vows very seriously. He's speaking to the Lord and he's saying, Lord, the vows that I've made, they are binding. I know that they are serious. Psalm 61, verse number 8, another psalm of David. So I will sing praises to your name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. I'm going to stop here for a moment because I want to suggest to you that there is a strong possibility that David didn't get this right. How can I say that? Well, the Bible tells us that when David saw Bathsheba, that he got up really late in the day. But here he's saying that every day he'll go and perform his vows. So there is a strong possibility that he didn't always honor every vow. In fact, we know that he didn't, because he actually ended up killing his best friend and having an affair with Bathsheba, and he got into trouble. There were consequences. Are you with me, guys? Listen, David wasn't perfect. He's not the only one in Scripture. There are many individuals. The whole of Israel broke vows. There are many vows that were made that were not followed through, and they still kept going. God's grace was actually even sufficient for many of them in the Old Covenant. Now, we've looked at some Old Covenant examples. Let's look at some new. Is that okay? Let's take a look at some examples. Let's look, for example, at Paul. Now, you must first recognize that Paul knew Old Testament Scripture. He also knew a lot of stuff that Jesus had spoken, because he'd obviously been, you know, with the disciples and he'd learned from them. So he knew some of the words of the Lord. And so in Acts 18, verse 18, it says this. So Paul still remained a good while. Then he took leave of the brethren and sailed for Syria. And Priscilla and Aquila were with him. He had his hair cut off at Centuria, for he had taken a vow. So we can see that Paul had made a vow. Scripture will tell you that it seems to be like a Nazarite vow. In other words, he'd made a commitment to separate himself to God. And the suggestion is that he needed to have his hair cut, because while he was under that vow, he was not allowed to put a razor to his head. And so he makes this commitment. The good news for you and I is that this obligation, which was for the early church, has nothing to do with us as Gentiles, and Scripture actually tells us that. That doesn't mean you can't make a vow to God as a commitment of your life, but actually it's not something that is required of us as Gentiles. The Bible tells us that. Are you okay, guys? But we see that Paul himself made a vow. We can also see where Paul speaks and he gives an example because of his passion and his sincerity to the church. He wants them to understand that what he's sharing is so severe that he goes beyond just yes and no. Take a look. Let's go to Galatians 1, verse number 20. Galatians 1, 20. Now concerning the things which I write to you, indeed, I do not lie. Is that what he said? No. He didn't just say of his own, what I'm about to share with you, I don't lie. No, he says before God. He's going beyond a yes and a no. He's swearing. He's making an oath, which is heavy. Are you with me? The good news is that he knew that what he was going to share was something that was truthful. He knew that what he was sharing was going to happen. He knew that the word that he had to share was the truth. And so he was so intense and passionate about it that he wanted to get it through to them and actually go as far as to say, before God Almighty, what I'm going to share with you is the truth. Are you with me? But that doesn't mean that we should do that in haste. That doesn't mean that we should make a decision to make a promise or make a commitment, because the Bible takes these things extremely seriously. Just how serious was making a vow in the Old Testament? I'm going to share a story with you that most likely at least 50% of you in this room have never heard, because it's just not one of the popular ones, and it's most definitely one we don't like to talk about because it's really hectic. Everybody say hectic. Let's go to Judges 11, verse number 30. Everybody take a deep breath. Listen, listen, God's going to set you free today. Amen. The Lord told me to share this message with you. He told me that I needed this message. Amen. Watch this now. Judges 11 verse 30. And Jephthah made a vow to the Lord and said, if you will indeed deliver the people of Ammon into my hands, then it will be that whatever comes out of all the doors of my house to meet me, when I return in peace from the people of Ammon, shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up as a burnt offering. Let's stop there. Don't ever do that. Don't ever make a promise of something that you have no control over. That's why Jesus said, don't swear by heaven. Don't swear by earth. Don't swear by God's footstool. Don't swear by his throne. Don't swear by a person because you can't even change the color of his head. You have no clue who's going to come out of that house. How can you make an oath that whoever comes out of that house, you're going to offer up as a burnt sacrifice? Now watch, because it's about to get really hectic. Verse 32. So Jephthah advanced towards the people of Ammon to fight against them, and the Lord delivered them into his hands, and he defeated them from Aroer as far as Minnith, 20 cities, and to Abel Keramim, which with a very great slaughter. So in other words, listen, God was with them and they won that battle. Thus the people of Ammon were subdued before the children of Israel. And when Jephthah came to his house in Mizpah, there was his daughter coming out to meet him with timbrels and dancing. And she was the only child besides her, he had neither son nor daughter. And it came to pass when he saw her that he tore his clothes and said, alas, my daughter, you have brought me very low. You are among those who trouble me, for I have given my word to the Lord and cannot go back on it. Wow. So he gets back from battle. God's honored his part of the deal. When he arrives home, the first person to come out of the house is his only child. He tears his clothes in anguish. And if you study scripture, he tells his daughter what happened, the promise. And his daughter says to him, you have to do what you promised to the Lord. And she asks him to, can she please for 2 months go into the mountains with her friends? And she comes down from the mountains and she didn't go to party because she comes back and the Bible says she remained a virgin. She was a good girl. She came back from the mountains, and when she came back, he honored his promise. That's how intense a vow was in Old Testament days. It's very quiet in Vero Beach this morning. Now, I need you to understand something. Because I'm teaching you this, but I want you to understand that Paul made a vow. I want you to understand that David made vows. I want you to understand that Jacob made vows. And most of those vows, Jacob's, Hannah's, and many others in Scripture, were fantastic. They were wonderful. But there are unfortunately those that we make that we cannot keep. How can we make a commitment or a promise that we cannot keep? How can we swear by the lives of our children in a moment of anguish or in a moment of argument when we can't even, it's just foolish. Are you with me? So where's the balance? Well, before we look at the balance, let's go take a look at what Scripture says, keeping in mind that those that I've read to you about knew these scriptures. Let's go. Are you all okay in Vero Beach this morning? If you're watching online, I hope you're surviving. Let's go to Deuteronomy 23, verse 21. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. This is in the beginning, guys. These commandments, these instructions were given in the beginning. Deuteronomy 23, 21. When you make a vow to the Lord your God, you shall not delay to pay it. For the Lord your God will surely require it of you. And it would be sin to you. But if you abstain from vowing, it shall not be sin to you. What did Jesus say? Let your yes be yes and your no, no. Because if you go beyond that, if you make a vow, it can become evil. Are you with me? He knew scripture, did he not? Numbers 30, verse number 2. If a man makes a vow to the Lord or swears an oath, you see, that's why I said, don't tell me it's vows only or oaths only. Jesus didn't speak about oaths. He spoke about vows. Listen, the Bible says in Numbers 32, whether it's a vow or an oath, to bind himself by some agreement, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth. Ecclesiastes 5, verse number 4. When you make a vow to God, do not delay to pay it. For he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you have vowed. Better not to vow than to pay, than to vow and not pay. There we see it again. Proverbs 20, verse 25. It is a snare for a man to devote rashly something as holy and afterwards to reconsider his vows. So what do? If we've made promises that we've not been able to keep, what do we do when we make a promise to somebody close to us that we cannot keep? Now, I know it's a very serious moment. I'm going to read to you from Proverbs 6, verse number 1, and then I'll give you an example. We've just got a few minutes, then we're going to close. Is that okay, guys? Proverbs 6, 1. My son, if you become surety for your friend, if you have shaken hands in pledge for a stranger, you are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. So do this, my son. He's giving him advice. And deliver yourself. So in other words, I want you to be free from this promise that you've made. For you have come into the hands of your friend. Go and humble yourself. Plead with your friend. Give no sleep to your eyes, nor slumber to your eyelids. In other words, don't leave it. Go take care of it right now. Go take care of it right now. Deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hands of the hunter and like a bird from the hands of the fowler. Now, in this situation, it would seem as though he's talking more about like surety, but he's also talking about a promise. If I make a silly promise out of a moment of just, let's say I'm having an argument with Naomi and I say to Naomi, listen, you know, I promise you, I will never eat pizza again. I leave, pizza's my favorite food. I go and I'm like, there's no way I'm not going to be able to do it. I'm going to eat pizza again. What do? I go to her. I know it's a silly example, but I go to her and I say to her, listen, I need you to set me free. I there's no way, I can't do it. She has the power to release me from it. Okay? Go and plead for it to be released. You'll also find that marriage is serious. That's why we make marriage vows. And there are certain vows in Numbers where it speaks about marriage vows under the law that you can see where a husband can release a wife from certain vows. I'm not going to get into that, but I want you to understand that when it comes to each other, we can release someone from a vow that they've made to us. Now, here's the good news and the bad news. All the news. Take it how you want to take it. If man can release you, how much more God? Okay? We sang that song about the cross. We understand that there is grace and there is mercy. That Jesus came and became a curse so that you would not be under the curse. That doesn't mean we take lightly making a promise or a vow. There may be a scenario in your life. I have been there. There is one or two vows that I've made to God when it's just been Him and I. And I will do my, I will live and die for those vows. But don't go and make a vow that you can't keep. Don't swear by your children. Don't swear by your husband or your wife. Don't swear on your own life. You don't have that kind of authority. Rather just let your yes be yes. And if someone says you need to promise, you must say, listen, I don't need to promise. You need to take me at my word. My word is good. I'm going to honor my word. I'll prove to you that I'm going to honor my word. Don't make a promise that you can't keep, guys, because it's going to hurt you. It's going to hurt you. But if man can release you, God can even more release you. There are people that have made promises and commitments and covenants with the enemy. You need to renounce them. You need to break them. Do you know when you go to a fortune teller and you pay that fortune teller to tell you your fortune, it's a covenant. You are allowing them to speak divination into your life. You need to renounce it. If you've made promises that you haven't kept, you need to ask for forgiveness. Are you with me? The great news, guys, is that I know our God, and I know that He will show you mercy, and that He will answer your prayers. There are people in this room that have not had financial breakthrough because you made financial promises that you did not keep. You need to repent. Honor the promise or repent, and then move on. There are marriages that are suffering because of promises that you made that you broke. You need to repent. You need to make right with your spouse. You need to make right with God. That's why He says, don't even let your eyes close. Go and sort it out right away. Go and take care of it. Don't leave it. Because the worst thing, what happens is we forget. And then we don't know why we have problems. Are you with me? Where we see in Scripture broken covenants, we still see them fulfill destiny sometimes, but we see the struggle. How many of you in this place want to avoid as much struggle as possible? Amen. Amen. Let me read you one scripture and then we're going to pray. The Bible says in 1 John 1 verse number 9, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from some unrighteousness. If we break a vow, it's unrighteousness. And I love, Jesus is just so perfect, man. Because Jesus says that if we break a vow, it's like sin. And here He tells you that He can forgive you for that sin because of what He did on the cross. Let's bow our heads. Father, this morning in this place, we take this very seriously. But we're so grateful for Your love, Lord, and for Your mercy. And that's what this is about this morning. Because I know it's Your desire that, like it was with Paul, Father, that You said through him to the churches, that they should come to the knowledge of God. That they should come and begin to understand and know who He is, who You are, Father. And one thing that I've come to learn about You is that You are full of love. Full of mercy and full of compassion and full of goodness. Father, the majority of the time when things go wrong, not always, but the majority of time, it's our own fault because of things that we do, things that we say that end up bringing us harm. This morning, Father, we come before You humbly. We humble ourselves, Father, and with the fear of the Lord on our lives because we know that You are Almighty God, that there is no God besides You, Father. You created everything in us, everything we are and everything we will be, Father. You are the one who created us. And so we come before You this morning, Father, and we surrender our hearts to You. Father, many of us have made mistakes. We've sinned. We've fallen short, Father. And I thank You that at the cross we can be healed. At the cross there is restoration. At the cross there is forgiveness and healing and deliverance. And so this morning, Father, each person in this room, we have an opportunity to go to Him and repent for any promise that we have broken, any vow that we have broken. We come before You this morning, Father, and we ask for Your grace and we ask for Your mercy. Father, we repent. The word repent means we turn from it. We go in the other direction. Father, we are sorry. We repent this morning for broken vows to our spouses, broken vows to our parents, broken vows, Father, to our loved ones, our children, promises that we've made that we had no place to make, like promises over our kids' lives and promises over family members and even over our own lives, Father. We repent this morning. We cry out to you this morning, Father, for healing and deliverance. And I know, Father, that you are Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. That word heals also means to restore. You are the God who restores and makes all things new. So this morning, in the mighty name of Jesus, right there where you are, begin to cry out to God. Listen, I can't do it for you. In fact, everybody stand. Don't be afraid. Everybody stand. Come. Stand, stand, stand. Listen, I can't pray for you. I can pray for you, but I can't pray this prayer for you. You must pray it for yourself. If there's things that need to be broken, listen, if you made a covenant with the devil, with witchcraft, with sorcery, with fortune telling, you need to renounce it this morning. If you made a covenant, a bad covenant, a promise that you haven't been able to keep, you need to repent for it this morning. I can't do it for you guys. You've got to do it for yourselves. You have to cry out. You have to be the one who does it. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray right now, every person in this place that has a desire to be healed and delivered, cry out to God right now. Come on, guys, don't be afraid. You'll make a noise at a football game, but when it comes to praying to God, you're too scared to open your mouth. Cry out to God this morning in this place. If you have a desire to be free from broken promises, cry out to Him right now. Cry out right now. Right now. Father, we stand before you, each one individually, Lord. Yes, we're one body, but we stand individually because you know our story. I thank you this morning for mercy and for grace, because your word says, Father, that if we repent for our sins, you are good and faithful and you will forgive us. Father, I pray that no condemnation will come. We know that condemnation comes from the devil. So, Father, I ask right now that you release every person. We ask for your mercy and your grace. Release this morning, Father. Many, Father, that have been bound by this. I come against every fell spirit that would come and try and hold you. In the name of Jesus, I break its power right now. And I set you free in Jesus' name. Father, we give you thanks and we give you praise and we give you honor, because we know that in Christ we are free and free indeed. Father, this burden, this yoke is broken and lifted off us right now in the name of Jesus. If you've got something to shout about, now's the time to shout. If you've got a reason to celebrate, this is your chance. Let's give him a shout of praise in this place. Yeah! Hallelujah! 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 Oh, we give you thanks, Father. We thank you for your love and for your mercy and for your greatness. For you are great and greatly to be praised. Thank you, Father, that we have life and life more abundant. The devil is a liar. And we thank you, Father, that we walk and we are righteous because we have the righteousness of Christ. And that we can stand without spot and blemish before you, Father. And we can honor you and we can worship you in this place in spirit and in truth. And there is power in this place. There is power for deliverance. There is power for healing. Listen, if you need a miracle right now, God's going to give you a miracle. You need to stretch out and take it. There is power present this morning in this room. If you need a miracle, you need to ask Him right now. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus for miracles to break out for those that have faith, Father, the size of a mustard seed, that mountain will be spoken to and it will be cast into the sea. And I give you thanks and praise for it right now. Oh, we love you and worship you and honor you this morning, for you are our God and our King, and there is none besides thee. Now I pray, Lord, that not one of us will leave here the same way, but that we will leave this place, and that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the love of the Father and the fellowship with the Holy Spirit be with everyone as they leave. We're so thankful, Lord, that you are here. We're so thankful, Jesus, that you are here, that you love us, that you're still alive today. And we give you all of the honor and all of the glory and all of the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.